Greet each one in Jesus' name this evening. As I understood when I was given this assignment, that it's not supposed to just be directed to young people. We are, wittingly or unwittingly, a people of influence. And influence has been coined a term that tends to be packaged as being mostly bad. When we think of the word peer pressure, many times our thoughts go to the negative things. But as I understand, the goal of the message tonight is to help us realize that peer pressure can be positive. And I know each of us would desire our life to be that. On the way here, there was a buggy coming towards me. And as I got closer to the buggy, I saw that the occupants in the buggy were leaning front and looking to the right. I doubt that they even knew that I passed by. I mean, maybe they saw me coming, but I was no pressure to them at all. They were not observing my van. They were not eyeing me up to see who's in it. They were intently looking at what was off to the right, and they were looking that intently that I looked off to the right. And I saw a nice farm. I saw a picturesque garden. And I had to wonder, were they under peer pressure? Were they under peer pressure as they were going by in their horse and buggy? Peer pressure is something that maybe when our children do questionable things that we don't think that we taught them. We believe that they were under some other influence. We're very quickly to say that there was obviously some peer pressure there. But when good things happen, we're not as quick to credit peer pressure. We would like to take the credit to ourselves. Negative and positive peer pressure, I believe, is a force to be acknowledged. It's just there. And I did a lot of thinking about this whole thing of peer pressure. I read statistics. Most of the thoughts surrounding peer pressure tend to be directed at youth. It's just what people think of. And the reason they do that is because youth are more vulnerable. Youth do not have the experience of those older. Youth, there is something supposedly in a youth's brain versus an adult's brain that they are more susceptible to peer pressure. I read statistics, how many teenagers today, how many become pregnant in America on a given day, how many taste alcohol, how many try drugs, all in a quest to be accepted, to fit in, to accomplish something. And I just thought about this whole thing of peer pressure. How do we get this thing built up where we have people that will do what they don't want to do to be a part of us? How does that happen? How can it get to that point? Well, positive peer pressure is such a blessing. I know as a parent, I know the good feeling when I can feel very comfortable as I wave my child out the door when they're going with a friend. I can feel very comfortable that they're going with someone who hopefully it will be a mutually beneficial evening together. It's a real blessing to have positive peer pressure. I like to just for a little Bible basis turn to 1 Samuel 17. As I thought about this subject, my mind instantly went to Jonathan and David and how unique that friendship was and how mutually beneficial that friendship was. It's hard for us to grasp the where David was and where Jonathan helped him to get to, as far as on the totem pole in the world's eyes. We just recently were aware of a wedding that someone from the lower ranks financially in society is now a princess. And the world is really observing that. The world is in awe at that. But here we have a similar situation where a shepherd boy was advanced to great position because he followed God. He had a good friend in his life that helped him to fulfill his calling in all that. I like to read 1 Samuel 17, starting in verse 56. We know the account here. We're breaking in. David went forth in faith, and he killed Goliath, and he got the attention of Saul. And it was an unbelievable moment that a shepherd boy could accomplish this. Verse 56 of 1 Samuel 17, "And the king said, Inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants." It's a very beautiful account. And like I said, we can't fathom the sacrifice that Jonathan made there. You know, we're so used to our clothing, we choose very carefully because we want it to benefit us. You know, it's our taste. It's who we are. But here was a man that he stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. He really stripped himself. To think of the prestige and everything that he left go at that moment to be a real friend, to be a positive influence in God's plan for David's life. Now, we know how this beautiful story, this beautiful friendship became stressful because of the jealousy on Saul's part. And we know how it ended up putting David on the run. Saul brought stress into his own family between himself and Jonathan. Saul got in the middle of this mutual friendship, this mutual commitment. But David and Jonathan continued as peers. They had a friendship that bonded behind the scenes. They had a friendship that had a depth that defied the norms of friendships. There was a loyalty there. They were peers. They were peers, but it was a successful peer relationship, and it was a very unique peer relationship. Because I said it was a relationship that defied the norms of how relationships start. You know, there's something about friendship, as I've observed it, that is baffling to many youth, especially. Friendships change, and we observe these changes in friendship, and we believe that behind these changes in friendship, there's something happening. Now, sometimes it can be rather obvious things. It can be things like, oh, they went to Bible school and they got introduced to a new set of friends and it was just never quite the same with their old set of friends after Bible school. Something just the dynamics just shifted. But there's still underlying that, what made the dynamic shift? What made it that suddenly this group of people that they never knew before suddenly is the one that has the most influence on their plans from here on out? What do we mean by peers? What do we mean by peers? Peers have common goals. Peers have common agendas. A person who is equal to another in ability, qualifications, age, background, and social status is the definition of a peer. Equal to another in abilities, qualifications, age, background, and social status. There are connector things that make some people become peers and other people become more or less friends. So what do we mean by pressure? Well, the word pressure said, according to the dictionary, social pressures by members of one's peer group to take a certain action, adopt certain values, or otherwise conform in order to be accepted. In order to be accepted. So peers, there's some sort of a plane where peers connect on. I said to you that those people in the buggy barely noticed me, if they did at all. We didn't have anything that much in common that we were connecting. Now, I have a feeling if I would have been driving a horse and buggy, they wouldn't have been staring as intently in at the farm. I have a feeling there would have been something that would have shifted their gaze, because there was something that would have put us more on a plane with where they were and who they were. I do not consider someone 20 years my elder or junior to necessarily be a peer. That's not where my strongest temptations would come to feel like I have to compete. I have to do certain things to stay in their good graces. I would consider them maybe a friend. Or if they're older than me, I would consider them an advisor or maybe a mentor in some fashion. But there's enough distance there that jealousy isn't as quickly to creep in. There's enough distance there that it may put possibilities out of the realm because of the distance that's there. But peers, many times we're facing very similar circumstances and options, and we have goals. We have something at the heart of what we want to get out of this relationship. I don't have jealousy. Well, not much. Over a fit and trim 20-year-old who can bench 400 pounds. Now, it would be nice to do that, but there's not 1 ounce of me that desires to try and get back to that. Well, I never could do it, but I don't have a lot of internal pressure when I see someone that can do that. I admire that, but I don't have a lot of internal pressure to want to do that. I don't have a lot of internal pressure when I hear of an 85-year-old man that sold his farm and is debt-free and has available cash for all kinds of things that I can't afford. I can admire that. I can say, wow, that's nice. It would be nice to be in that position. But I'm not there. Someone older than me can become a role model, and in that sense can bring some pressure to bear. It can urge me to think in maybe ways that, you know what, if I want to be financially free, I need to start doing some things now, or I won't be there. It may be a good impetus to get me to thinking, but usually our peer relationships, our peer pressure is when we are on the same plane, very close to the same plane. When we desire to be in the inner circle that the other is in, when we desire to get the same recognition that the other person is getting. Peer pressure tends to operate best when there is age and geographical and occupational and many other things that make it a peer relationship. There's just things that make it connect. I don't think the PA farmer and the Idaho farmer have a big struggle with business peer pressure. The tractors may be bigger in Idaho than they are in PA. I don't think there's a lot of distance there. There's probably not as much comparison or feeling that they're ahead of me or I'm behind them. But the person down the road, the person up the road, has a lot more pressure on us. I don't have a lot of pressure, peer pressure, when I observe someone on the way to church playing on a golf course. Even if they look to be my age, even if their hair is starting to gray, I don't face a lot of pressure. To me, it's like the person in the buggy looking at the farm versus looking at the car. It's not my world. It's not where my goals or my heart desires are. A peer is someone who, for the most part, walks in a similar path and chooses to fall in step for something, for some reason, for some goal. And it's very intriguing. It is very intriguing to me as I watch youth and relationships and how they can come and go. A youth can go to Bible school with a whole dorm of their own gender. And many times they will leave Bible school with just a few that are really, really end up being very influential in their life. How does that happen? What makes those connections? I went to Bible school with some boys at the time that I can't even tell you their names. I have no clue. Every now and then I'll meet somebody and they'll say, "You were at Bible school when I was." I'm like, "Huh?" But you know what? There's some people that are still my friends today that I went to Bible school with. How does that happen? How can some paths cross and it's a blur? We barely remember that our paths cross. And the next ones become a tremendous influence in our life. How does that happen? I brought an object lesson along tonight. It's a bit bigger object lesson than I normally like to carry into church. But I like to just use it to try and explain, as I see it, the dynamics of relationships and help us to each examine our heart and our influence on people. I have a box here. It's not a fancy box. I put it together rather hurriedly. The scraps that I had at home in my barn. So don't grade me on the box. But the box is rather crude, and it's an illustration of something. The box is crude for a reason, because I want to help us to understand tonight that each of us, from little on up, is making a box. We're making a box. We're making something that we say, this is me. This is what I want out of life. This is what I hope other people will help me get out of life. And subconsciously, we take these things called hopes and dreams and desires, and we say, this is me. And we enter into the world saying, this is me. And this hopes and dreams and desires comes from a broad circle of influence. We connect, we observe, we see things that we categorize and say, you know what, I don't like that. Or we say, I do like that. Sorry, lost my page on my note, place on my notes here. Got ahead of myself. We develop our hopes and dreams and desires through relationships. Someone impacted us. Someone influenced us to make how we made our box. And some of it is what happened to us. It may just be providential things that happened to us. But we started classifying these things as good or bad, things I do want, things I don't want. And it happens very, very naturally as we mature. Now, for a long time, we keep our hopes and dreams and desires sort of to ourselves. Maybe some things happen in our parental home and we say, that's not what I want for my family. It's sort of a thing we keep to ourselves. But as we come to the time of youth, adolescence and youth, we start letting some of the things peek out of our box a little bit. I'll take the cover off. And these things that peek out of our box start becoming the connectors. Now this looks like a bunch of nothing to you probably from down there. The door fell off of this business. This is to represent a business. But you know, there are some people that they'll say, yeah, my dad punched a time clock all his life. That's not going to be me. And as they rub shoulders with their friends, they let their friends know that I want to be a businessman. And through friendship, what's inside, what's concealed, starts becoming known. We show who we are. And that's what courtship is all about. Before we get married, we say learn to know each other. And really what we're doing is we're trying to find out what were your hopes and dreams and desires. And we're getting them out and we're looking at them. And then we're stepping back and saying, do we mesh? Are our hopes and dreams and desires close enough? But we have these things that we let peek out a little bit. Oh, I have a globe here. This globe's peeking out the top a little bit. Travel. I love to travel. I want friends that are going to travel. I want to see the world. That can be a desire of older people. It can be a desire of young people. It takes money to travel. Or maybe we let our music stick out of the box. Just let our music out a little bit and somebody notices it and we become friends. We like the same kind of music. I want to be your friend. I see that music. You have the same desire as I do. I can be your friend. And we get who we are, start showing. Or maybe we can connect on cars. I mean, I ain't running a simple family van. I am going to be driving an SUV for sure. It's beneath my dignity to drive anything less than that. And we let it show. That's who we are. And our friends look at us and say, oh, yeah, we can get along good. We can be friends. I like SUVs too. Or maybe we like the archery shop pretty good. And we let that peek out and we talk about that and we connect very well in archery. We get together and we shoot and practice together. And we say, yeah, we can be good friends. You love archery, I love archery, wonderful. Or maybe house and furniture. We do like that, those people we're doing in the buggy. We look at what we see going down the road. We look at what we see when we go inside the house. And we say, a kindred spirit here. Yeah. I'm one with you. I can be a friend. Let's be friends. I like nice houses too. I like nice furniture too. Or maybe it's sports. Maybe it's sports that is a connector. This fellow or this girl, she loves sports and she is always invited to the games and I'm going to be her friend. This will work out great. This will benefit me. We can be good friends. I like sports too. Or maybe it's dressing our children. You know, we just want a well-dressed family. We want to go put some extras on so people notice our well-dressed family. And we can attract friends based on that. Oh, that's me. That's me. Well-dressed family, that's me. Or maybe it's, we notice some popularity. seems like the boyfriend, the boys and the girls just seem to be magnetic to this particular individual. We see that peeking out of their box as we get to know them. And we decide, you know what? I want to get married. I want to get married. I want to be their friend. I think I stand a good chance of getting married if I become their friend. So we build a friendship based on hopefully what they can do for us to help us get in the right group so we can be, well, maybe up our chances of their influence helping us out. Oh, another piece of furniture fell to the bottom here. I'll put that there. What else we got in here? Oh, money. Lots of money. Influence. We see it. Now there's a businessman that, yeah, he's getting somewhere. I want to be his friend. He probably got a lot of good advice. He probably can really help me. Now I have a few other things in here, but I'm going to let them in for the moment. But I want to make a point here. A lot of these things come to be in our life by reaction to our past. Our hopes and dreams and desires are built by a reaction to things that happened in our past. Maybe we had an aunt that never got married, and our hopes and dreams are suddenly we realize we want to do something different than she did. Or maybe we had an uncle. Maybe we grew up in a family where mother didn't know how to sew all that well. And we are sick and tired of maybe sort of a stigma that went with that. And we have this hopes and dreams and desires that we say, this is us. And we want to find friends that agree with us. And we want to have a kindred spirit built on our hopes and our dreams and our desires. Now, Jonathan had a very, very different agenda than his hopes and his dreams and his desires for befriending David. And their relationship was built on a promise to each other that was an unselfish promise. For us, many times we go through life with building our friendships with selfish motives. And we want others to help us fulfill our dreams. That's why we enter into relationships, and that's why relationships fizzle. That's why relationships can fall apart so quickly, because suddenly something happened in this individual's life. They are no longer the connector that I thought they were going to be, and I need to jump over here now if I'm going to have my hopes and dreams realized. Or maybe the financial businessman that we admired takes a downturn. And suddenly, he don't hold the appeal that he once did to us. There's many, many factors when we are selfishly motivated in our relationships that bring them to an end or distance them. Peer pressure has a lot to do with how we pack our box. How we pack our box. And how others pack their box. You know, it's what we let peep out. It's what we let peep out that become our connectors. And if we're letting the good things peek out, our desire for evangelism, our desire to, if we're going to travel, to use it for Christian service instead of just an Alaska trip hunting, if we let the good things peek out, we're going to attract good people, right? Because what we let peek out becomes our connectors. And so many times we find ourselves in frustrating relationships and lots of peer pressure because we tried to connect on one or two things, but as we learn to know the individual, we realize that there is more in the box that is part of the package. And we come under pressure to conform so that we can continue to be a part of their in-group. Now, typically, I said we're selfish in our relationships. Typically, we don't enter into relationships with the idea that we want to help others fulfill their hopes and their dreams and desires. That's typical not the way we enter into relationships. Oh yes, we would say we do, but deep in our heart, we are naturally a selfish people. We may befriend this young man because of his sister. We may do certain things because there's something in it for me. There's something I want to get out of this. We connect on these surface things. And these surface things lead to a deeper commitment. The more we're friends, the more we get to know each other. Maybe we have ulterior motives right out of the gate as we enter relationships. Maybe we do. Usually we have some ulterior motives. But typically the connections deepen, they grow. They bring some kind of security in our life. We have these reasons that we want this friendship not to fall apart. And it can bring a lot of pressure on us the more we get to know people, because all of us have flat spots. We all have flat spots somewhere. We all have these moments where we thought they were great people, and suddenly we see them behind the scenes, and then we say, whoa, now wait, is this you? I saw your baseball glove, but I didn't see your music. I didn't know that I'll be under this kind of pressure to be your friend. I didn't realize that. Now what happens is, as we mature, as we grow up, and as we empty this box over into this box, we take this box and we carry it around for more and more people to see, because it's who we are. We are now at a point where we're trying to exemplify to the world who we are. And there's something happens after we put this box in the laps of other people. That is when the peer pressure starts. Because suddenly we learn to know each other, and we realize what each other's hopes and dreams and desires are. And there's some things we find out, you know what? I might have to adjust if I'm not going to be thrown out of his or her social setting or his or her status quo. I might have to adjust. What is in our box is our way of saying, this is me. This is what I want friends for. We're a little bit like the young man that got a haircut at Bible school that wasn't to his liking. It put him in a different category than the haircut he came with. And he went back to his friends at Bible school and got out his driver's license, and he said, this is me. I don't know who this is. All right, something happened to what he left peek out of his box that he didn't like. As we learn to know each other, it takes us to deeper levels. Businessmen start having breakfast together. The world, they play golf together. The youth have social interaction, travel. They do things that unpack the box. They take it from the hidden box to the glass box where others can see it. It's what happens as we do these things that they develop relationships. The challenging thing about relationships is they usually connect on a few common denominators. Like I said, we like their music, or we like their athletic abilities, we like their looks, we like this, we like that, and we see advantage in it, and we connect on those things. But every person has a whole box of influence. We all have hopes, dreams, and desires that we show others as we learn to trust them. But then something happens. A shared hope, a shared dream, a shared desire turns into an expectation or a pressure in the hand of the other person. Because there's suddenly this thing comes up and says, do I need to conform to your hopes and dreams and desires if I'm going to stay a friend. If I stick to my hopes and dreams and desires, will I get dumped out of this friendship? And there is this thing called peer pressure, expectations. We know each other's expectations, and we have to decide what to do about it. How far can we go? We expose our values to our friends, and they expose their values. And we believe, when it becomes a pressure, we believe that our friendship hinges on doing their hopes and dreams and desires. We believe that's what it hinges on. And that's why we get in trouble so many times with negative peer pressure, because we believe to not help them carry their box of hopes and dreams and desires, we might not get invited to the next volleyball game. We might not get invited to the next social. We might not be in that in-group. We might not, you put in there whatever you want. We might not turn into the big businessman that we thought we would. We might not be able to travel to Florida and play shuffleboard every winter. Put it in your age group, whatever it is. We expose our values, and our friends expose theirs, and we believe that our friendship hinges on pleasing them. We know what things will please our friends and keep us on the in with them. We see their dreams and hopes and desires. We see what it's getting for them that maybe our hopes and dreams and desires aren't getting for us. Maybe we see their prestige. Maybe we see the ease with which it seems like they just move about. And there's pressure. If I don't listen to the latest Bill Ramsey podcasts, I don't know what we'll talk about when we sit down at the next gathering. If I don't watch the latest news and just keep up with it, I don't know. What are we going to talk about? I won't be in their in-group next. Next they'll drop me. If I don't know how to talk business and money, I'm afraid I might get left in the dust. Negative peer pressure squeezes us in harmful ways. Because a lot of times as we get to know each other on deeper levels, we discover things about each other that is not what we thought it would be, is not what we expected. Maybe we discover that the mother with a well-dressed family hardly finds time to have a good devotional life. She's always sewing or cleaning or polishing something. Maybe we discover the businessman, that motorhome he's driving was pulled by a shady tax maneuver. I mean, he called it a business investment. He called it a business expense. But as far as we can tell, it hardly ever gets used for business. Or maybe we discover that girl that has gotten herself up in social status, she did so by throwing darts and wounding those around her. I have a few more things in this box. I have darts in here. I'm going to put that in here. That's not usually what we let peek out. But as we get to know people, sometimes we realize that they got to where they are because they knew how to throw darts. Look at her, look at her, look at her, look at this, look at that. And the darts fly. And we say, now wait, am I going to start talking like that to stay in this social circle? Is that what I need to do? Or maybe as we get to know them better, we find out that they have a boxing glove. Wow. Mom and dad tell them a curfew or tell It just, they know how to get their way. They know how to go about it. Ministry, ask something of them. Wow. Just slug them. Right there or behind the scenes, just slug them. Some people take those to brothers' meetings. The boxing glove comes out at brothers' meeting. The ministry just aren't doing it right. And they know that here they'll have some people that at least will agree with them and back them up. And the pressure is on. Are we going to be there and say, yes, this is a good time to be confrontational. This is a good time to get out our boxing gloves. If I don't come out with my boxing gloves, I might not retain my status. I might not stay in the inner circle. If I can't dress like her, it will likely affect my friendship. I gotta stand up to mom and dad. I gotta stand up to them. I have to, because it's gonna impact what I entered this relationship for. If I don't trade this Cass project for his Alaska hunting trip, he probably won't invite me the next time. He might not even invite me for other things that I really want to do. If I can't retire with a minimum of $500,000, I won't be able to keep up with the lifestyle in retirement that the people that I idolize may have. So what do we do? What do we do about this thing? We all face it. It's called peer pressure. We all face it. People will disappoint us at times. We might be surprised at their values in some things that didn't come out until we realized that got to know them better. Well, there's some people that might have a teacup in their box instead of boxing gloves. They might be the type of person that just knows how to draw people aside, to have a kind word with them. At a time, it won't be embarrassing. They just show us how to take relationships on a deeper level than these surface things. That's positive peer pressure. But I said that we pack our box. We pack our box. And we unpack our box. Some things we keep packed in our box unless the right person comes along, and then we start unpacking it. Well, we can compromise. That's one way we can work through if we see things in each other's boxes that we'd like to maintain our peer status. We can say, well, let's divide what's in our boxes and see if we can't still be friends and both fulfill our hopes and dreams and desires. You know, if you're willing to take the bow out of your box, I'll take the glove out of my box, or whatever you want to put in there. We'll somehow figure out a way to keep score and compromise to stay in this relationship. Compromise usually ends up with someone getting the upper hand in how the relationship unfolds. We end up carrying, at least in part, a set of values that is not who we are because of peer pressure. Compromise can have some positive elements. It can. The full steam ahead businessman and the full steam ahead mother can maybe benefit from the more laid back relational style of a friend that's willing to do some things to keep the friendship intact. The laid back temperaments can be blessed with heeding some urges from the diligent and prosperous. The shy can benefit from the extrovert. I was going through a line at a wedding, and the bride's parents complimented the person ahead of me for the influence that their child was on their daughter in drawing them out from an introvert to an extrovert. Now, that's positive peer pressure. If it was a godly young person, and they were able to unpack each other's boxes and realize here's an area we are totally opposites, But we're going to make this work. We're going to make this work. The danger of compromise is when we allow ourselves to be drawn into compromise on things that can or will ultimately compromise godly values over time. That is the danger of compromise. If we feel God calling us to certain things, biblical-based things, but we compromise with our athletic friends, or we compromise with our globetrotters that are spending their money on things that really, at the end of the day, they don't have much to show for. You know, one or the other is eventually going to win. One or the other is going to eventually win. We have the influence of many people in our life. We choose. We choose what we allow to peek out and what we allow to be, who we allow to be attracted to us. We choose that. Well, we can exchange our relationships. That's something that a lot of people do when they realize that, you know what, our boxes have some different stuff in. So we take our box of hopes and dreams and desires and we cart it off into the next relationship. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, that's how people treat marriage. They find out their boxes are not the same and they pick up their box and they say, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to start over. Peer pressure is very mobile. It follows us from one social circle to the next. People carry this box from one church to the next. They carry it from one workplace to the next. They carry it from one social circle to the next. Because somehow they believe that it'll work different. The same box can be taken over here and it'll somehow work out differently, many times to their disappointment. Because the person in the mirror looks the same in a different mirror, unless it happens to be a concave or a convex that gives a distorted image. A true mirror, they will look the same. And the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. Outside of marriage, I believe there is a place to take our box and find new friends that can bless us if we find that we're willing to adjust what's in our box to be worthy of that friendship, if we're willing to make our box full of good things. I believe it's okay at times to seek a new friendship when the boxing gloves and the negative things we just can't compromise. We just can't go there. If that's what it takes to be in the end, then we can't go there. Personal weakness is not a good platform to pick up our box and move on. We need to learn to live out our godly values in a peer setting. It's better than taking flight instantly. No matter where we go, there are going to be things that we have to say, I just won't go there. For me, I, in the business that I'm in, connecting with a lot of business people in our society, there's that call to be involved with golf, and there's that call to be involved in mixers and sorry, I can't go there. It's not who I am. It's not who I feel God wants me to be. Thirdly, we can manipulate. It's another way of dealing with the differences of our boxes. One of the dangers of peer pressure is usually the winners are good manipulators. Usually the winners are good manipulators. The stronger personality wins because they know the four C's. Convince, convict, control, and coerce. Convince, convict, control, and coerce. The ones that have that as their agenda, they find ways to prove that you are wrong. They find ways to prove that your thinking is faulty, that your training was faulty. They speak loud enough and long enough and often enough that they can be very convincing that you will be happier if you compromise. They can take you on guilt trips. You promised me. I thought you were going to do this for me. Now you're letting me down. People that learn that relational style and end up the winner, they appear happy on the surface. They might say to their friends, oh, yeah, she's coming along. I got her convinced. Yeah, he's coming. Give him a little time. It's pushing them out of their comfort zone a little bit, but we'll get there. They can see it. I think they're seeing the light. And their negotiations win because they intimidate. They knew how to bring this scenario and this person into the mix, and they knew how to just draw us in. They knew how to get us to where we didn't want to be. They knew who to invite to the social gathering. They knew how to arrange it that we would be at the movies when we thought we weren't going to movies, or we would be. I remember Sidney Gingrich telling the story of being along with a group back when the going to the movies was a thing you could do. And he was under tremendous pressure. He didn't know that they were going to end up at the movies, but his friends arranged it in a way that he was along, and now what is he going to do? And he finally said, I'm sorry, you can go in, but I can't go in. And it ended up, they all went home. They all went back because of positive peer pressure. But people that know how to coerce, they can put the pressure on because they are trying to fulfill their hopes and their dreams and desires. The world calls it bullying. The world says, the bully says, you've got to carry this box for me. If you're going to be my friend, take this everywhere you go. This is me. If you're going to be my friend, this is me. I'm sorry. No, she can't come to our social gathering. No, he can't. It doesn't fit who I am and who I want there. And the pressure is on for our friends to carry our box. And we end up being a negative peer pressure. We end up throwing darts. We end up making it difficult because we have other people carrying our box. Number four, positive peer pressure understands the stuff in the box is surface and a result of a deeper heart desire and tries to become a friend on a deeper level than just the stuff. All this tangible stuff that we have in our boxes, the things we see, is a product of a heart desire. We normally don't get to where we are by accident. Sometimes we do find ourselves places that we do say, how did we get here? But for the most part, we were following our hopes and dreams and desires. There was something down there that was being fulfilled, and that's why we took the next step. Positive peer pressure helps us to sort out our hopes and dreams and desires. Positive peer pressure helps us to take off the boxing gloves. Positive peer pressure gets out the teacup and says, let's go out. Could we go out for breakfast sometime next week? And maybe it says, you know, I just thought I'd have to talk to you. That last brothers meeting, I just felt really uncomfortable the way it unfolded. How did you feel? And the teacup, the coffee cup, gets used as a tool for somebody else to look in their box and say, yeah, you know what? I got to really like that. That wasn't great. I got to get that. It's my temperament. It's just the way I come across. But thank you. Thank you for helping me. You know, we all want to be respected. We all want to be desired. We all want to be admired. We all want to be cherished. We want to be protected. We want to be defended. We want to be trusted. We want to be prioritized. We want to be pursued. And we want to be heard. We want to be heard. You know, the friends that understand that that is what their other friends want can take courage and can be a positive influence by taking time and helping us look inside our boxes. So what do we do, lastly, in closing, what do we do with our hopes and dreams and desires that may be creating negative baggage, may be heavy for our friends? You know, this box can be carried into our homes. It can be carried into our churches. Wives can be making husbands carry this box. Husbands can be making wives carry this box. Life can become miserable. People become who they're not because they don't want this thing to get any worse. They want to try and keep it together somehow. We all have, mixed in all our goodness, a hankering for the edge. We all have tongues that want to lash. We all have some places we'd like to throw those darts. We all have them. We have our core desires that we are bent on fulfilling. But you know, it takes someone with real love. It takes a Jonathan person to step into our life to help us to look in our box. And I believe God, 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read verses 5 to 7 in closing. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We will never find in friendships everything that God wants to be and can be for us. We will never find that. I don't care if it's a marriage, a church, a workplace. We will never find everything there that God can be and wants to be for us. There are some things in life that we just have to cast our hopes and dreams and desires on him and let him work it out. Make some difficult choices so that we don't allow ourselves to be drug into negative peer pressure and at the end of the day, at the end of our life, be disappointed because we followed our hopes and dreams and desires and didn't allow our friends to influence us for the right. May God bless you.